Prayer was one way to cope with the end of the world. The lethal edge of my sword was another. Either might have saved me from the 5.5 feet of temptation that slept in my bed. But I brought her here, invited her into my underground bunker to give her a safe place to hide. And now I never wanted her to leave. In a way, I'd already surrendered. She would argue our paths had crossed by coincidence, but I believe divine intervention had sent her to this desolate town. A town on the arse end of England that hadn't seen the likes of a woman since the plague hit 19 months ago. Rumor was only 10% of humanity remained worldwide. The rest were mutated creatures. No children or elderly survived. No women. Except Evie. The night I met her, she confirmed the rumors in her American accent. She would know better than most, having traveled halfway across the world, alone, and searching for answers about her mysterious survival. I glanced at the mattress, enthralled, as she stretched her toned limbs, her arms folding beneath the pillow and pulling it against her angelic face. Waves of blonde hair fell around her dainty shoulders and ribs. A single candle cast a warm glow over her closed eyes, her breath soft and hypnotic. Still asleep. Beside the bed, I turned back to the prayer bench and bowed my head, my knees digging into the worn padding on the kneeler. This was the second time tonight I'd slunked away from her body heat, tight, backside, an intoxicating feminine scent. Was that what sex smelled like? Hot and drugging, sweet and tempting. Bloody hell. She was a persistent test to my obedience. Neither distance nor prayer had softened the steely ache between my legs. In what universe could a man resist the strength and beauty that embodied this woman? I must have pissed off God. Maybe it was all those pervy thoughts I'd conjured about Sister Agnes in secondary school. Why else would he so sadistically torture me by sending the last surviving woman to my doorstep? A woman who could lure Jesus himself into tasting the forbidden fruit. As fierce as she was with guns and knives, maybe she didn't need my protection from the blood-sucking monsters that haunted the crumbled foundations above ground. But God knew I needed her. I needed human interaction, affection, a link to the benevolent life I'd lost. She was my escape from the isolation of this brutal world, even if it meant challenging the celibacy I desperately held my entire life. I focused on the crucifix that hung above the bench, mouthing the prayers I knew by rote, my fingers gliding over the rosary beads. I needed to remember she trusted me, or rather she trusted my black button-down cassock and white collar. In the month she'd been here, she'd spoken candidly about the dangers she'd faced on her travels, the most vicious being the men who hunted her. She feared humans far more than the snarling, infected mutations. I promised her I would protect her from men, but who would protect her from me? My control was as fragile as the string connecting the beads in my hand. She only needed to pull ever so slightly, and I would break. My gaze wandered back to the bed, snagging on her parted lips, the sensual curve of her shoulder, and the neckline of her shirt where it slipped downward, clinging precariously to the taut peak of her nipple. I looked away and scrubbed a hand over my face as more heat rushed south, gathering and throbbing below the waistband of my briefs. The cotton stretched so bloody tight it threatened to tear the bollocks off me.
Rourke?
Her sleepy whisper floated across my skin, caressing places no woman had ever touched. The sensation filled me with wonderment, hunger, guilt. I clenched my hands and drew in a calming breath. Hmm? She sat up and leaned against the wall, her fingers straightening the shirt to cover her chest.
Can't sleep?
Nah. I stared straight at her, at the glowing hope for mankind's future, at the devastating threat to my vow. Just praying, love.